You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition. Shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry. The home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the About Real Estate edition. I am your host, Hotchnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. Boy, this is an important conversation. I have a feeling over the next 7 years of this show, we're going to talk more and more about, we spent a lot of time talking about energy efficiency in these homes. Today's guest is going to give us a whole new thing to think about in terms of where we're going with energy conservation.
The future is here today.
I can't top that. Let's get to our conversation. We're joined this morning by Russell Seifert. He's the founder and CEO of Creative Solar USA and also the 2018-19 chair of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, gosh, so let's do this. Let me start and ask you to tell us a little bit about you and your background, and then lead us off with the work you're doing at Creative Solar USA.
Our company was founded in 2008. We, in short, so I don't get too far, we are the current residential installer for Solarize Atlanta. We were the selected winners for installation for residential for Solarize Decatur DeKalb and also for Solarize Carroll Carrollton. And we just recently received the award for Solarize Middle Georgia.
Wow.
So we have really exploded in the residential sector. It wasn't never really set as a plan. When you start a company like this over 10 years ago, you start to evolve and you kind of find your niche. You know, there's other solar companies in Georgia. A lot of them are utility and large commercial. And we just seem to be migrating towards, you know, small to medium-sized commercial and a lot of residential. And we like that because we touch more people that way. And we get a lot more feedback. And it's just great relationships that you generate through the time.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you're working to make solar more affordable for Georgians.
Well, I think over time, as you become competitive from the West Coast and as things migrate over, as volume increases, suppliers are able to be more competitive and pushing their costs down. And the same thing when you become an installer or EPC, mm-hmm. what they call us. The tariffs put a little bit of a hurt on it, but it's sort of like Moore's Law when computers came out. You know, as the volume increases, people's interest evolve, and it's an education process more than anything. It's not a sales process. It's an education. When you show people the numbers, they get it. It's on both sides. It's a bipartisan discussion, very much so. People want to talk dollars and cents. So because of that, and because of the global economic impact on solar, the manufacturing costs have plummeted. It's dropped 60%.
Wow.
In just the last 8 years.
Wow.
To give you an idea. So a system that costs now maybe $15,000 was $35,000 back in 2009. So when people take that and their tax credit, it's kind of a no-brainer when you show them the numbers. And you have a lot of people, they say solar is sexy. But what you also find is a lot of things where people, electric vehicles have really come into the to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, if I'm going to have an electric vehicle, I want to be kind of environmental, not necessarily a tree hugger, but I want to kind of make common sense. I don't want to charge my car from coal because I went to electric car because of not burning fuel.
Right.
They go with solar.
I made that exact argument to someone last week. I'm like, so you're going to buy an electric car and plug it into your house that's powered by
exactly.
a coal plant. Makes sense to me. Well,
yep.
But back to the, so tell us kind of typical prices. So let's just say you've got a 3,000 square foot house.
Right.
Is there an average range of what it costs? And can you make money putting your solar electricity you create back on the grid? Or how does that work?
I think a lot of people, because of what they've heard over previous years, that they can make money because they're mm-hmm. selling energy back to the utility company. That's gone. But you can hedge against future costs. And the majority of our population, which is baby boomers, they're looking to retire. They're really mm-hmm. looking at their numbers now. This is a way that they can control fixed costs for a long period of time. And right now they have the tax appetite. So
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, the customers that we're running into are people that are in excess of 50 years of age and older.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say the vast majority of them. And part of it is because they get it. They're looking at the numbers. They're looking at, you know, they don't have a lot of disposable income and they're looking at this investment and it's for the long term. And they know in 9 to 10 years it pays for itself. And then over the next 35, 40 years, it's free energy.
Right.
and they're hedging against the risk of increased utility mm-hmm. costs.
So before we go to break, I mean, how soon before this is what you do, before all the builders we interview in this show say, right. and this new community is all solar powered, and mm-hmm. it just becomes part of, you go to Home Depot, mm-hmm. oh, I need to replace that panel. You go in, it's $49.99. I mean, it's just because it's just so commonplace and real. You know, I mean, there's a certain electric car company is now worth more than some of these 100-year-old car companies that yeah. we all, I mean, that the world's changing. I mean, how soon before this is just common everyday thing?
Good point. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent to get to the point, but because of technology, and it's just a matter of time, because of technology, you're probably going to see by the year 2030 that car sales are almost going to be obsolete. Hmm. Everything's going to be transportation oriented, where people just lease or rent means of transportation, and power is becoming in the same fashion. So I think you're going to probably see in the next 3 or 4 years that it's pretty common. We're getting so many inquiries on people that are buying a home or building a home, and they want to implement solar. And the smart thing about that is if you implement that when you buy your home, when you put it in your mortgage, it's a positive cash flow from day one because mm-hmm. of the value of the dollar. Now, I couldn't have said that 5 years ago.
Right.
And a lot of people actually weigh this against putting a swimming pool in. Mm. The solar increases the value of the house, period, regardless. No matter what, a swimming pool is a pivoting point depending on the buyer
mm-hmm.
because there's an increased cost there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that is, I remember reading data from 8 years ago about homes selling better with solar on the West Coast than the home next door to them. Now we have geographical appraisal data based on sectors from all parts of the Southeast where you show that it has a base number of $15,000 to the increased value of the home and or higher. And that's something that people look at as well. It's no longer, oh, I don't want... People don't even realize they have solar on their home.
Yeah.
I've talked to people that say, I want to talk about solar about my house. Well, you know your neighbor's having it for a year and a half. He goes, I never even looked up there. So it's become more of an acceptable thing. And because all black, solid black solar panels, it blends in. HOAs, we're only getting very little pushback with HOAs, and it's because it's just a matter of an education process.
Before long, they're going to want to be tapping that as an amenity worth, this is why it should be here, because we are solar friendly.
Right, mm-hmm. and because the way storage has just become such a boom in the last 3 years, with those two tied together, it's an incredible marriage. We are doing as much energy storage in kilowatt capacity as we are in solar panels now.
Now, for someone listening who doesn't know what the heck that means,
yeah.
What is a typical house? How many kilowatts does it need to operate?
The standard size installation we do on a home is about 7 kilowatts. It's about 21 solar panels. Each solar panel is about 18 square feet. Okay. So some people say, oh, okay, I can probably get this many on there. But it also depends on how much energy you consume. Because a lot of people say, I got a 3,000 square foot house. Okay. But I could see one 3,000 square foot house with a family of two.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see a 3,000 square foot house right next to it with a family of four. Family of four is gone all day. Family of two is home all day. Family of two consumes more during the day. Family of four consumes more in the morning and the evening. So that's why you've got to do the homework and mm-hmm. talk to the people who know what they're talking about.
Or it's a 3,000 square foot home that was built in 1960
yep.
versus one that was built yesterday with
yep.
all the modern technology and the right roofing and all that. So there's a lot of variables. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't go to break. We're going to talk for another 3 hours. All right. So Carol, Russell, and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ty Pennington. So much of what makes a Right Choice home energy efficient is what you can't see. It's all about the details behind the wall construction. Right Choice homes from Jackson EMC are planned and inspected several times throughout the building process to guarantee they're energy efficient and comfortable. Energy efficient homes guaranteed. Ask your Jackson EMC representative for complete warranty terms and conditions.
All right, we're back with Russell Seifert of Creative Solar USA and the Georgia Solar Energy Association.
Yeah, Russell's got me thinking now, mentally measuring my roof and figuring out how many solar panels fit on it. And you know, it's kind of funny, it was something we talked about when we built the house in 2002-03,
mm-hmm.
but it was really expensive then, and
yeah.
nobody knew that much about it. So you and I may be having a whole other conversation. But
oh boy.
Let's talk about Georgia Solar Energy Association
yes.
and your position with that organization and what they do.
Currently, I am the 2018-2019 chair. I've been on the board for almost 6 years now. Got involved even just as a member back in 2009 when there was only a handful of people. The organization started in 2002. We are the largest organization in Georgia devoted to advancement of clean, cost-effective solar energy. And our mission statement as an organization is primarily to educate, to advocate and support local and small businesses involved in solar, and also to support policy. We provide educational programs such as a solar summit, which is obviously that will be in the next week or so. But we also have quarterly events, Women in Wise, WISE, which is Women in Solar event. We have golf tournaments and everything. We have quarterly meetings where we have special speakers, the public service commissioners. We have speak on a regular basis to give us updates, because our public service commission is one of the few states where they are elected officials. So we have a voice of who we want in those positions to help advocate for the general consumer, not the utility company. So that's very, very big. The biggest thing that the Georgia Solar Energy Association does is it creates a voice. We create events to have people present to discuss and see how we can advance solar to make more rooftop accessible, as well as provide some advocacy and support. Just recently, Georgia Solar Energy Association, over the last year, we've worked with SCLC, Volt Solar, the Water Coalition, GIPL, and we were able to work and help some customers that had challenges with utility companies that wanted to put heavy tariffs just because they had solar on. We got with those utility companies. We sat down with them. It was a civilized education process. They realized that it wasn't going to be as impacting as they thought it would be. And so there was a little bit of a fear motivation put in, because somebody's putting solar, they're taking money away. It wasn't going to be that when you show them the program. And besides, utility companies right now are putting meters in left and right because of the development. They're not really losing out customers. They really are not. But they also want to look what's best for their customers. And you've got some EMCs here, along with Georgia Power, that have become more solar friendly. They really have. And so you take those models and you educate the municipalities and other EMCs, and you have a general understanding.
So the EMCs that are solar friendly, you know, Jackson EMC is one of our show sponsors.
Yes, Jackson EMC is a pivoting point. They have done two community solar programs.
Oh, wow.
And because the first one sold out so fast. And they are probably, them and Cobb EMC. Jackson EMC has even offered rebates for people that have solar. But Jackson EMC also does things a little bit more regulated, but it's the right type of regulation because they want NABCEP certified installers dealing with the solar.
Easy for him to say.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. That is a mouthful. NABCEP, National Board of Certified Electrical Practitioners, that has a passing ratio of 44%, which is really tough.
Wow.
But then you know you got somebody that has an idea of what they're doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really cool. I knew we were lucky to have him as a show sponsor. I think we're moving. I mean, the popularity, it's no longer weird to have electric car, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and thankful to, I don't know if I should mention brands on the air, but I'll just say Tesla. Mm-hmm. Now it's cool and hip to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're not far from where this is going to be a big public demand.
Right.
I mean, people are going to say, I want my house to do this.
They want to be able to control more.
Right.
Independence versus just paying a bill every month and not getting any return, where if they do this, they get a return.
Right.
And it's just like when somebody first owned an electric car, how'd you find out? They showed you.
Same thing with
solar.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't realize their neighbor has solar.
Well, we have a mutual friend who I think tells everyone he can possibly talk to about what he's trying to do there and how proud he is. How proud he is of how he feels like he's serving his community, which is really cool. I think you're going to start. You're right.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see more and more of that. You also are part of a program called Solarize. You mentioned at the top of the show. What is that all about?
Solarize is where you have an organization that brings a collective coalition of elected officials and advocates in a community organization in a tight-knit area. I'll give you an example, DeKalb, Decatur, Central Georgia, Carrollton area. And you get about six or seven coalitions that are people that are well-known, credible figures. And what that does is they put their heads together and come up with a campaign, and they create a vetting process. It's a bid process. It's not just, let's go with this company or this company. It's a bidding process. And they choose a solar company that they think would best suit what they're looking to do. The benefit of those people is it gives the program grassroots and credibility. And because of that, it has really increased the residential number a lot, to where, you know, a lot of the utilities are having to take note. It's not like, oh, we'll just get one or two. They're having to take note. And it's a positive thing. So now they can see things in the mix. And you develop a lot of really good relationships because of that. Solar Crowdsource really has done a tremendous job in putting these programs together with these coalitions of these nonprofits and people in the and these influencers. It's done extremely well.
That's really cool. Well, California seems to be the leader in all things energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a push, actually a mandate, to have 100% of all new construction solar by 2020.
Yes.
How do you think that is going to, over time, impact home building in Georgia?
I think you're starting to see some effects already.
Are you seeing any builders buy into it?
You are seeing some builders buy into it, but they look at metrics and they a lot of them kind of consider it that's a little bit of an inconvenience. But I think more and more people inquire, the more and more it's going to be considered acceptable. You have a lot of people call before they buy a home in an HOA and they want to find out if solar is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And that determines whether or not they're going to buy in there.
Hmm.
You're finding a lot of that. There are some laws that there's some white papers that have been out there where, you know, if an HOA says no against solar, it's been overruled many times.
Right.
It's just a matter of finding somebody that really wants to advocate and fight it that hard versus now I don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you are seeing a swift change.
Well, I know I drove through a neighborhood and I've been all over the place lately. I want to say it was in Raleigh recently that there were solar panels on the front of the house. And it surprised me because it's just not something we've seen that much in the South yet. But I think it's coming.
Yes.
To your point.
There's a few houses in Dunwoody that have solar on the street side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
There are houses in Kennesaw, Ackworth, that has solar on the streets. It's homes in Decatur, even in the historic district, they have solar on the sides of the house.
Right.
But yeah, you're going to see it more. Now, the solar shingles is a different story. We don't want to get into that because it's very costly and
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah,
so.
No, I don't think you're going to see it.
But that's the next generation of this thing, right?
Right.
I mean, it's exciting that we're talking about that, right? I mean, that's what the point I'm trying to make is that we're now having dialogue about this, and it's not weird anymore, and it's not one of those wacko nut jobs and the other end of the street kind of a conversation. This is becoming a mainstream.
You're
now
not the black sheep anymore,
which I think is a really, really exciting thing. Well, goodness, we've got so much more we want to talk about with Russell, but unfortunately, we're about out of time. Russell, before I let you go, should anyone want to learn more about Creative Solar and certainly the association, and if they want to have a conversation, I'm interested in this, where do I start? Where do they go?
First, you can go to our website, which is creativesolarusa.com, and you can hit the contact button, or you can do a live chat with one of our consultants, Jessica, who's really awesome. The other way to be involved and be more engaged is to be a member of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. And by becoming a member of a small donation, whether it be just one time or you can sign up and have just a small monthly contribution, be a sustainable member, that goes a long way in reaching out and advocating solar for everybody as a whole. So I would definitely would like, you know, any of your listeners out there that are interested in solar, first become a part of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. It means a lot and you're showing support for everybody as a whole. And then also, look at the other solar companies on their website on Georgia Solar Energy. Don't look at just ours, but always get a few estimates. Don't go to just one source and make your mind up. Always talk to a few.
Well, before we close, Russell, I was hoping we'd have some time to talk more about this, but we don't. But I do want to reference that to join us today in studio, you drove up from the Florida Panhandle. You're down there volunteering and serving after that hurricane just slammed into And then after we're done today, you're heading back down there. So I just wanted to appreciate your service to mankind in that effort. Russell Seifert, the founder and CEO of Creative Solar and the 2018-19 chair of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. Russell, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Our pleasure. All right. That wraps this week's About Real Estate edition. On behalf of my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. And we'll look forward to seeing you again right here next week. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by Denham Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denham Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denham Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.